Many years ago, and I was starting out in my ministry, I was serving a church in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and I remember a day I had to go to a meeting in Des Moines, and I was traveling on Interstate 80, and I had stopped for a bite of lunch, and I was sitting in a restaurant, and on a table near me was a young family, mom and dad and three kids, and the youngest was this little girl, probably 1.5, 2. She was sitting in a high chair, and she was having a ball. She was eating, and she had food all over her mouth, and she was laughing, and she was, you know the picture of what I'm describing here. But her father was getting very upset with her. Finally, her father got up, and he leaned into her face, and he grabbed her little cheeks like this, and he said to her very sternly, "I told you to keep your God blank mouth shut." Now, I have a variety of problems with that on a variety of levels, but for one, the whole spiritual nature of that. I imagine, and I hope I'm wrong, but if that's the only way that that little girl would ever encounter what God is really like, she would grow up thinking that God was very mean-spirited, very punishing, would not want you to do anything that gets out of line, a God who is quick to damn. And that is not the kind of God that we have come here to worship today, is it? We, in fact, believe that God loves us. Bob Goff describes God's love like this. He says, "The God of the universe is nuts about us." That's the kind of God that we have and we worship today. Our lesson describes that in a way. It's a letter to from 1 John, and it begins by saying beloved, which means dear ones. It's actually almost, a love letter. Dear ones, beloved, let us love one another because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. In other words, if you know God and you know and experience God's love, it's something that we should want to share with others, right? I mean, if we've experienced God's incredible gracious love, it's something that we would want naturally to be able to share with others. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. It's hard to know God and not love, because God is, by nature, love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. In other words, before you were even a glint in your mother's eye, God has already shown you how much God loves you. He'd already come. Before you did anything, before you were even born, God said, "I love you." You don't have to earn it. You don't have to merit it. You don't have to do anything to get it. It's already there. God loves you. I mean, that's one of the reasons why we baptize infants, is it's a gift from God. You don't have to do anything to earn it. You don't have to do anything to merit it. You don't have to do anything to get it. It's a gift. And so we baptize infants before they really have done anything to, quote unquote, prove themselves worthy. God's already done it for us. God's love is there before we even do anything to deserve it. So, beloved, dear ones, since God loves us so much, we should love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is perfected in us. How have you experienced this love of God? How have you experienced God's love in your life? Some respond by saying, "It's in creation that I experience God." And I can see that. I love this time of the year. I was in Omaha yesterday, and I was coming home, and I You know, just to see the fields changing, the corn is drying out, the beans, you know, getting ready, things are changing in the fields. It's just, I just love fall, and I can't wait for the harvest to begin and seeing all the transformation that'll take place. Creation is a wonderful thing. Recently, I was at the Grand Canyon, and for those of you who've been there, you know what that's like. It's just it's just awesome. Picture cannot capture it. Description, it's beyond description. But I'm standing on the south rim, and I'm looking across the canyon, and I can see the north rim, but I can't see anybody standing on the north rim. And then somebody near me had some binoculars, and they could see somebody on the north rim. And I thought to myself, I am so small. In this Grand Canyon, people over there can't even see me. That's how small I am. And then I thought about this canyon, that it's just huge, and how small I am. And then I thought, this canyon is so small on the face of the planet Earth. And this is what God has created. And yet God, when you think about when God comes to us as Jesus, God comes small, small. God doesn't need to be small. But God becomes like us, small, to show us how much he loves us. I mean, what does that say to you about our God? I mean, he'll reduce himself to being a human being. I mean, that to me is just beyond description as well, because it's an act of love, that God would humble himself as the scripture writers say it, in that way. Another way I experience God's love, and maybe you do too, is through relationships, through people. I think when we experience God's love and care and support and encouragement through other people. I have people in my life that are very encouraging to me, and that love me in that way. And it's not a constant thing. You know, it's not, you know, always thinking about Greg. No, they have other better things to do. But every once in a while, I'll get this text or an email and just say, hey, thinking about you, praying about you, hope you're doing okay, that kind of thing. And I'm thinking, wow, how'd they know I needed that? And I'm thinking, they must be hearing those whispers of the Holy Spirit that kind of cause you to do something. You know, I've talked about this before. You know, I'm driving home from church, and all of a sudden this idea comes to mind, says I should reach out to that person. And I reach out to that person, and it seems like it was just like that was really good timing, that person needed me at that moment. And I wish I could take credit, but I think it was the spur of the Holy Spirit. And I think God uses people to show us the kind of love that God has for us. And in the same way, I think God's love is experienced in the church. God created this thing called the church 2,000 years ago. God's vision for this church would be that people would come together in community, they would grow in their faith, they would care and support one another, and they would come together and do some things to help build God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And I think that, in a nutshell, is really what the church is designed to be. Now, not every church is that way. The problem with the church is that it has people in it. Because people, as human beings, we are sinners. We're sinners and saints. And sometimes the sin gets out of control, even in the church. And it causes the church to divide and tear each other apart. And instead of building up and caring and supporting one another, the church doesn't fulfill that mission. But the church, I think, is a place. And when people decide that they want to disconnect from the church, they're disconnecting from a place where God's love can and is experienced in very real ways. Now remember, love is not a warm, fuzzy feeling. Love is not something we agree about. You know, I love the Huskers. You love the Huskers. Although I had a Kansas State fan at the first service, and he was grieving. I mean, we can at least say we won last night, but he can't. And that's just fine with me. No. But that's what it is. It's coming together as the people of God and not only loving and caring for each other, but doing something out of God's love to make the world a better place. And the church, it's in the church we can experience that. Now, why is this so important? It's so important for us to be reminded of God's love for us, because I believe that it's really hard to love if you don't experience love. It's really hard to love if you don't experience love. Have you ever heard this, the adage, hurting people hurt people? Hurting people hurt people. It's the idea that, you know, you're emotionally in pain, and then you take it out on somebody. And I bet we're all guilty of that. You know, you go to work, and somebody says something, does something that upsets you. And instead of confronting that person, you go home, and what do? You dump it all over a person that had nothing to do with it, but they get all the wrath and the anger and everything. Hurting people hurt people, don't they? Well, most of the time, we hurt, and then we find ways to heal. And loving people help us heal, don't they? But it's not until we experience love that I think we can share love. It's not until we experience encouragement that we know how to encourage. It's not until we experience support and care that we reach out and support and care for others. And it's so important for us to remember that God loves us. Because when we realize that God has gone to this extreme to love us, then when we hear these words that we are to love others, we are more apt to do it. We're more motivated to do it. We're more empowered to do it. Because we know this is the nature of God, and this is what God wants us to be and to do in this life. To be people of love. We are to grow in our love for God and grow in our love for others. And we are reminded during this study that love is manifested in action. So do love because love does. Amen.